Great to have you along here on WPR News. You know, there are many signs of spring, and one of them that I look forward to is the notice that Canucopia is on the way. Larry Mueller here, and great to have back with me the guy who leads this. Canucopia, it's the largest canoe, kayak, and outdoor expo, and the genius behind it is Darren Bush, also known as the chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports.
I want to claw back that genius thing for just a second, because that's clearly not true.
Oh, I think it is. And we've got Canucopia coming up, and I hope you'll join in. You may have questions about Canucopia. You may have some questions about canoes or kayaks. Maybe this is the first time you've gotten your kayak or your canoe out. I in my morning jogs, early in the morning, I'll sometimes go quite a long time before I see the first one, and I've seen them already. They're out there.
Yeah, you've probably seen John Stofflet. John paddled 1,300 miles last year in his kayak. He's took to it late in life, but he's taken to it. And yeah. He was short a couple miles before the first of the year, so he went out and paddled up and down the Yahar River just to get his miles in.
So. Well, and he's a speaker at Canucopia, which is really cool. I like John. He's a really good guy. And Canucopia is this Friday.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Starts this Friday anyway. Yeah,
I had to run here just because there was a truck blocking my truck in our parking lot, and I had to kind of go over the curb a little bit. So we're in full swing.
So Friday, March 13th through Sunday, March 15th.
Correct.
And just a couple of days to go before it begins, obviously. Actually, not too many. One day.
Tomorrow
Today's
morning,
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Thursday.
Tomorrow morning at 8, we start loading in, and we load in all day Thursday, and then we load in Friday morning, and we're ready to go by 3.
And this is, I've been there so many times over the years, and it's such a wonderful event. And it's at the Dane County Expo Center, right?
Alliant Energy Center.
Alliant Energy Center. I'm sorry.
It used to be the Dane County Forum in the early 90s. It was bulldozed, thankfully, and they built the Alliant Energy Center. Yeah. It's a great venue.
Yeah, how many vendors and?
I just counted 200. 200 vendors, 80 speakers, 120 presentations, because we double them up because no one wants to choose between one and the other. So we said, well, let's go to one and go to the other later. So,
well, it's an amazing. How did maybe give us a brief history of it? How it got started? I think that's kind of fun.
Well, it got started in front of the shop on Fish Hatchery Road back in the early 80s, and it was meet the folks that build the boats. And this is long before my time, obviously. Then it moved into the forum, and then I took it over in 94 when we moved into the X Hall, because it was so big, and I was a little better at planning than the guy that used to own it. And then I'm also better than him at hiring smart people, because, you know, never be the smartest guy in the room, but if you can do one thing, hire smart people. So I've got the dream team.
Yeah, you do have a great team there. I've already got an email wondering about your own role here. You've been talking about retiring, not really retiring though.
Well, that's not how it works. So the short story is, middle of the summer, I says, you know what, I'm done. I'm just gonna sell the inventory and sell the buildings and just kind of start with my life as a chaplain. And I got so many cards, letters, visits, emails, texts saying, please reconsider. And talked to my partner, Stephanie, and my wife is of 42 years next month. We said, we need to make this work. The community needs a place like this, and I can't see the world without Rutabaga and Canucopia. So instead, we decided to sell. So we're in the process of doing that, and it's a long process. But it pushes back my next move a little bit. I don't know how long, but it's worth it. So it's fine.
Yeah, and your new role, and you're still probably able to do a little of that even on the side.
Yeah, I'm still doing that part-time when I can. I really love hospice work. It's my calling, right? I've had several callings in life. Paddling was one of them for over 30 years. And no one retires anymore. I mean, you're sort of retiring, but you're not really. You got a lot of stuff going on. And I think that's true for everybody. We just move on to something else and work differently. So,
yeah. And I think that's, and that's the way it's going to be. And Canucopia is going, the other part of that email was Canucopia is not going away.
Ever. Nope. Nope. It's too important to the community. And that's been made very obvious. And a lot of people just said, you got to do this. I'm like, okay.
So that's something you are, if I'm not mistaken, you're going to keep going with that at a personal level? Or
well,
what are you going to do?
No, the Canucopia ownership goes with the ownership of the business as well. However, I'll have an employment agreement where I can continue to coach and help and ease them into it, because it's a big event with a lot of moving parts, and you can't just hand someone the keys and say have fun, right?
It takes
some time, and I'm willing to do that.
Well, and you know, we've talked about Canucopia for many years together on the show, and if somebody asks, when do you start planning? And I think your comment is like the day after the last one's over.
Actually, Tuesday, Monday I take off and try and just breathe. But then Tuesday is I've got all the notes for the following year. I've been taking over the weekend, and you know, I've got the great staff. They do the same thing. So every year we try and make it a little bit better.
So what kind of, for the person who's never been there, talk more in detail about what they're going to find.
Well, there's three components of it, right? There's the educational component, and that's the speakers. And that grew from one room with one speaker to nine rooms with 70 speakers. And this year I pushed really hard to get more women and more beginners. Because we need to teach people who haven't done this before. It's not scary. If you know what you're doing and, you know, use common sense, anybody can do it. And there's one woman who's coming, Carla, who didn't start paddling till she was in her late 30s, and now she does solo trips. So people can paddle the rest of their lives, and it's one of those sports where you can just keep doing it. You know, it's not like football or whatever, where it's like, okay, my knees are gone, I can't do this anymore. Yeah.
Somebody asked me about that, knees. You know, done a lot of kayaking in my life. I actually bought some kayaks from Rutabaga a long time ago. The problem with creaky knees and so forth, and how people deal with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of mechanisms to get in and out of boats. A lot of the manufacturers are making things that make it easier to get in and out. There's a whole bunch of things you can do because everybody in the industry is aging. I mean, I'm 64,
so
we all want things. And I'm offloading some of my boats that weigh more than 75 pounds because I don't want to pick them up anymore. You know, I can, but what happens is you pick it up 20 times. And the 21st time, something in your back goes doink, and then you're out, right?
Yeah.
So I'm moving over more and more to lightweight just because of my age, and that's normal, and that's fine.
So what's the give us an array of the kinds of products that people are going to see relating to canoeing and kayaking?
Well, we have everything soup to nuts. So we have canoes for doing expeditions that are, you know, big, long, 19, 20 footers. And we have kayaks that weigh 17 pounds that you can pick up yourself and throw in your car and everything in between. But the big trend now is towards light. Everybody wants it lighter. And the materials that exist now, and, you know, mostly stolen from the aerospace industry, you know, they do the development and then we get the benefits of it. So boats tend to be lighter, stronger, and easier to pick up. But yeah, you can get a teeny little boat just for putzing around town, or you can get an expedition canoe or kayak to go for 2-3 weeks.
And the rest of it, the extras that come along with it, everything from paddles to...
Yep. So the idea is you could show up there and say, I want to do a trip to the Boundary Waters or a trip to Lake Superior. And we could equip you with everything you need to do that. The one thing we can't equip you with is common sense. But mm-hmm. you can go to the shows, and there's a guy from up... on the North Shore Beer Cornucopia, who's a guide on Lake Superior. And he can tell you, this is a great place to go. Here's how you can go. But then also, here's what you should do to be safe. And that's a big part of our education, is to keep people safe.
Yeah. Do you have programs? You have programs for younger folks, too, do you not?
We do. Yeah, there's always something in there for kids. We have a young woman speaking. Isis, she's 16 years old, and she walked the border route. Youngest person to ever do it, and has a ton of stories. And it's like, when I was 16, I was a complete idiot. And this is a young woman who's confident and smart and wise, and has her dad's great, and he's mentored her, obviously. So we've got older folks, we've got younger folks, we've got everything in between.
Somebody's already wondering, what's that border route?
Oh, the border route is a hiking trail that goes along the border, like the Boundary Waters. Mm-hmm. And it's different trails that are hooked together. So the Kickapic Trail is on part of that. So she hiked from where the Pigeon River goes into Lake Superior all the way along.
All the way along. Oh, man. So that's a great story to listen to.
And there's the Hudson Bay Girls, as they call themselves. It's four women who paddled to Hudson Bay. So there's a lot of inspirational stories, and there's a lot of educational stories. And I mean, it's a good place to go and just listen and get inspired.
And there'll be a lot of visuals with those speakers, I know, video and photos and.
Yeah. There's a guy coming from Ontario who is a filmmaker. He's in college, but he's already won awards for his films. He's doing one about paddling in the northern part of Canada. And he's kind of shy. He's like, I don't know. I said, just bring it. You're a filmmaker, not a public speaker. That's fine. We can work around that. But just a wonderful young man.
Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist, owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports, our guest. We're talking Canucopia. But certainly, if you have questions about canoes or kayaks or the materials that might go along with them, I hope you'll join in. Or maybe you've got your own experience to share. The number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Larry Mueller here. Tomorrow, just for a quick note, tomorrow at this time, it's a home improvement day. Chad Spate will be with us. We'll take a look at how kitchen and bathroom projects can improve your home's functionality, comfort, and resale value. That's tomorrow on the Larry Mueller Show. Right now, we're talking canoes and kayaks and Canucopia with Darren Bush of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. It's great to have him with us. And if you have a question or comment or maybe an experience to share, I hope you will join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could send an email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Ron in Land O'Lakes has a question or comment, I believe. Let's go there. Ron, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Yeah, quick question for you. So I live up in Land O'Lakes, northern Wisconsin, and trying to get involved in a lot of waterfowl hunting, or duck hunting, basically. There's a lot of ponds, small streams up here. What would be a good kayak / or canoe that I could pick up, throw on the back of a pickup truck, but have it stable enough that if I have to stand in it, you know, there's no problem, that I can get into some of the shallow muck waters, for waterfowl hunting. So just your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many choices there. There's a whole genre of kayaks that appeared maybe 10 or 12 years ago that are specifically designed for fishing. But people have found they're also good for waterfowling. They're also good for bird watching because they're just super stable. And some of them are, most of them go in the back of pickup trucks. They're a little on the heavy side. But a lot of folks slide them in and go, and they're from Jackson Kayak Native Watercraft. I can't think of all of them right now, but a whole bunch of them. Oh, Liquid Logic. I don't know. There's too many brands, but they're all there, and you can sit in them and see which one you like. But they're all stand upable, I guess, is what I would say.
And you would see pretty much all of those at Canucopia?
Yeah, pretty much every fishing kayak that exists, with a few exceptions, they're all there.
And so even though it's called a fishing kayak, as you're saying here, it works pretty darn well for those who want to do some hunting out of it.
Yeah, and that's done. I wish they wouldn't call them fishing kayaks. I wish they'd call them utility kayaks, because they really are good for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, photographers love them.
Yeah, so they're just... what basically makes them better and stabler?
They're wider. Obviously, wider is better for stability. They're not quite as fast, you know, that move through the water as well as some other kayaks, but that's not the reason they're there, right? They're tools. So they're wider. Usually, they have a little bit more space to stand, a little flatter platform. There's often a mechanism you can use to help you stand up, because anybody who has knees knows that it's kind of hard to stand up sometimes from a seated position. The seats tend to be super comfortable. Sometimes they swivel, so you can turn to the side, which is nice. So it's a good tool.
Yeah, I like that. Ron, does that help?
It does. Thank you very much. Yes.
Yeah. Hope you can make it to Canucopia if you have a chance. Land O'Lakes is not that far from Madison. You can join in to 800-642-1234. Give a call. You were recently honored, and congratulations, by the Wisconsin Paddlers Hall of Fame. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's really sweet. I've received honors before from different industry organizations, and that's fine. But this comes from paddlers, and that means a lot more to me when it comes from my peers. So I'm really just honored. It's just sweet. It's kind. And recognizing what I've done is, yeah, I have to accept that, right? It's not easy for me to accept stuff like that, but I have done good work over the years. So
you have, and it's that Midwest, you know, all of us, that makes it hard to accept. But
The ah shucks factor. Yeah, no, it's hard. But you know, my wife said, Darren, this means a lot to them too. So I said, oh, you're right. These are my peers. So,
and you're inducted
next week, I think.
Oh my gosh!
So perfect timing. But yeah, it's at a paddling film festival, so it's part of that. So I get to go and see paddling films, and then I get to not make a speech and just say thank you, right?
Yeah, that's the good part about
right. Yeah.
Not having to give a speech, although you'd be good at it for sure. I've been known to talk about my trips on this show, but I hear you have a trip coming up and you're kind of excited about. Tell us about
that
trip.
So I'm taking the first more than 2 week vacation I've had in since I've been married 42 years ago. My wife and I are going to Italy, and I actually studied Italian here with Christopher Kleinhentz. So I'm an amateur art historian, and because I still speak Italian, so it's really easy to get around in smaller towns. And I'm actually working on a book that will be, I'll start working on it in earnest after I'm retired. It's called Mille Sotto Mille, which means 1,000 under 1,000. There's so many towns in Italy that are dying. Because of immigration and because of population and because of the birth rate. And those are some of my favorite places to go. And so I'm going to go visit a bunch of them and take oral histories from some of the people that live there and write a history about these little towns. And when I get 30 or 40 of them together, then I'll put them in a book.
Very, very cool. Well, we've got an emailer here who wants to know, do you plan to become licensed to paddle a gondola?
Actually, not licensed. I am going kayaking in Venice.
Are you?
Yeah, we'll be there for a little bit. But there's also a school where you can go and learn how to row a gondola. And it's on my list. I don't think it's going to be that big of a transition. But
I doubt it.
I just, you know, and my friends say pictures if it didn't, pictures or it didn't happen, right?
Man, you have some other travels planned too?
Not, that's the only one on the forefront. We're going to do a trip in the fall, but I don't know what it's going to be yet. But I just get to be alone with my wife without distractions for 16 days, and that's...
Yeah, that'll be cool.
It's really cool, yeah.
Let's go back to Canucopia for a bit. If and maybe let me first ask, for the person who's never done it, how do you get into it? I mean, what do you recommend for someone for getting into paddling?
Ask lots of questions from lots of people. There is a speaker at the show, John Chase, who is a wonderful paddler and a wonderful man. Actually, he's a wonderful man who paddles, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like that better than wonderful paddler. He's a great guy. He's doing a talk on five things I wish people would have told me before I started kayaking. So there's talks like that there, right? The presentations about these are things you should know before you start, and it's good to benefit from somebody else's mistakes.
Yeah, it is indeed. And give us a couple more examples of speakers.
Oh, gosh, I worked on this so much I can't remember them. But there's just a ton. I mean, Timothy Bauer's going to be there talking about, he talks about, you know, wild rivers and paddling in the cold. It's hard for me to talk about because there's so many of them.
But, I know Seth Taft, who was my guest from 11 to 12 today.
Is oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted me to say hi to you, by the way.
Hi, Seth.
I think is speaking, isn't he?
Yeah,
I know they have a booth.
Mm-hmm.
They're friends.
He's definitely speaking. There's a woman, Bianca. Bianca started paddling when she was in her 30s as well. And she's doing now trips all over the place and bought an ultralight canoe. But Carla with a K has I think she's camped every month for I don't know how many years, including winter. And she came to it late. So it's anybody can do this. You just have to have the right skills and you know, the proper gear and mentors. I mean, that's the most important thing. If you get mentors, then they help you ease into it the right way.
Yeah, I think you're right. Anne emailed us in the early 80s. She purchased a paddling life jacket at Rutabaga when it was on Park Street.
Yep.
Remember those days? Several kayaks later, she's still using that same life jacket. The main problem, she says, is it's harder getting out of the boat these days.
Yes. First of all, you're due for an upgrade.
Those life
jackets do have a life, right? And they're so much more comfortable than they were 20 years ago, even. Getting in and out of a boat is the thing that I hear the most about. And again, there are aids to do that, depending on where you are. There's also techniques, because if you just know a few simple things, like, if, for example, getting out of a sit-on-top kayak, like a fishing kayak or something like that, I get out by turning 90 degrees and just standing up, like getting out of a sports car, right? Those little low cars, you might as well just get your legs out of the boat and then stand. But techniques. So talk to people. It's just mentors help immensely there because everybody has to get out a different way. Depends on your body and your knees and all that stuff. So.
And I'm thinking you should go to Canucopia and get yourself a new paddling life jacket.
Yeah, come find me. I will fit you personally.
Yeah, 20 years, and you're right. It's been,
That's 40 years.
Yeah.
On Park Street.
40 years, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't been on Park Street since 92.
Oh, man. I remember those days, too. We've been together a long time. And again, it's back to the locations, the Alliant Energy Center. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this coming up. The times?
3 to 8 on Friday, and then 9 to 6 Saturday, and 10 to 4 on Sunday.
Yeah, and I highly recommend people get online to the website for Canucopia, because it's probably a good idea to plan. I mean, especially if you're thinking about speakers and so forth.
Yeah, you can, the show guide that we print and mail out, I don't know if you've got yours.
Yeah.
It's 76 pages.
Yeah.
There's a PDF of it on the website, so you can print that out. And you can just print out the pages that have the speakers on them and just circle the ones you want to go to.
It's always a lot of fun, Darren. It's always a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry.
And by way of full disclosure, I should mention that Rutabaga Paddle Sports is one of Wisconsin Public Radio's many business sponsors. Darren and I have been doing this a long time, and it's always a pleasure for me to talk with him. And a pleasure to have a team like we've got Clara Niper, Joel Patnaud, Lee Rayburn, Jeff Robbins. Jeff produced the program today, and our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Stay tuned. Lots more here on WPR News.